What's going on, people? If Writer's House isn't enough for you this week, then check out the Who We Be Talks podcast with Harry Panero and Henry. This week, you could catch me on there sounding something like this.
What's the one food you couldn't live without?
Aki.
So I went to Jamaica, probably Aki in the morning.
Aki and a proper fried dumpling, bro. If black people could erase racism on our own, it wouldn't be around. We'd get rid of it already. Oh. We can't do it without white people. Mm. You need the right allies. What am I happy for? Got nice wife, my kids, everything's nice. Mum's happy, everybody's happy, but I'm sitting there and I'm not happy and I don't know what it was. And I think it stems back to everything what was happening. I couldn't function. I couldn't deal with the emotions of being content. So that's the Who We Be Talks podcast featuring me, available now on Spotify.
He's a shit.
He's a shit.
House.
House. Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. We're recording this ahead of the Champions League second leg, so Stadio Boys will cover those on Thursday's episode. Today, we're going to be talking a bit about shithousery, players winding up opponents, because, ladies and gents, it's a real thing. I did it, I'm not proud of myself, but it was done. We are also going to be talking about Sergio Aguero, and we're going to look ahead to Arsenal's second leg against Villarreal. And my guests today are the wonderful Mr. Jeanette Quarshie and Ryan Hun, Ryan Andieta. Rilo Ren, and all the other names he's got.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not good.
Oh,
why?
No.
See, I love that.
I'm like, oh my God, what's happened?
Oh, no.
Not good. No, not good. And the thing is that people go, oh my God, what's happened? No, it's just that I had to play golf yesterday, and I was looking forward to it. And it was in the club competition at my local club, and I had my clothes ready. I was watching golf. I played golf on the PS4, right? Yeah. Just to get my vibe. And I started with like four bogeys. And the lady I was playing with, Sally, she's so amazing and lovely. And you know when somebody's just being really nice, even though you're trying your best to do better? And I literally couldn't do any better.
Don't hit the table.
Couldn't find it.
Audio format right. He just to be at the table. Deafened a load of people. There's,
you know what? Playing football, when I played football, I never, this is why I suppose with the anger issues, I think I've mentioned it when the lady told me about the anger. And I was so angry in those holes. And I had a couple of holes where I was fine. I was so angry, I could feel it. I could feel the volcano coming.
It's like a warm
and
rising.
So what was good about that though, Jeanette, is that I was able to suppress and not let the anger take over until now when I'm banging the desk.
Golf's a weird sport, man, because it's like, it's one of those you can have 17 and a half immaculate holes and then one bad shot and you're like, fuck this sport.
You just messed up the whole thing.
You know the shithousery that goes on with golf, though, because the guy who I was playing with, he's really good, but like he's really competitive. And I think that when I'm playing as well with him, because I've only played with him a couple of times, but he always wants to beat me. So he's always throwing in a little, you can't do this and that. And remember, you've got to bring in that. And he knows all the rules and that.
Are you playing with Gareth from The Office?
Exactly. So while I'm still trying to deal with my inner anger and the stuff, he is somebody who I'm kind of jealous of, if I'm going to be totally honest. I'm jealous of him and the way he can play and play really same. But he says things that are in my head.
Does it?
Shithousery.
Does it on purpose?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's cheeky though.
Karma,
man.
For your entire football career.
You know something? See, I'm talking about shithousery and I used to do so much foolishness.
The first time we ever met and we did that Stadio episode and you were talking about, like the Michael Jordan level of like chatting shit.
Oh my God, I love it.
The goalkeeper one that you told us. You told us a story about a goalkeeper when you're like, you better watch. Like, don't drop that. There's loads of people watching.
Because
were you bad? Like, what kind of things did you
say? And you know what I used to do, Jeanette? I used to challenge them even when you know you're going to get booked, but it was a time where you could Chad is a goalkeeper. So that then if there was another 50-50 or even a 60-40, he's got a little thought in his mind that he's going to probably try and kick me. And like, you know, and at the time, if I'm going to, I probably would. But the thing is I used to say to the goalkeepers, our manager told us about you when, amongst the bodies. You drop that ball, the next thing you're going to hear is the crowd because I'm scoring. You make sure you drop anything, I'm scoring. And you know when you in the box as well, when you're doing the walking backwards when it's the corner and you know where someone's foot is and you step on their
quickly.
Foot.
Quickly.
You step on their foot. I used to find out certain things, Jeanette, find out certain things about certain men, about what's happening from people you just, and then say it to them on the pitch. I
heard
about
you. Well,
this is deep.
This is like boxing.
I thought you were just talking about like untying shoelaces
and stuff.
This is like some psychological warfare.
You know, yeah, I guess you've got to get into their head.
You're trying to win the Premier League. You find out what men are doing when they go on their night out and all this sort of stuff and you hear certain things.
Oh my God. You're putting wires up on people and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
So then when you say it to them, because they're not expecting you to know what's going on, but you found out inadvertently through this one, that one, and you hear a rumor and then this and that. Even if it's a lie, like Michael Jordan. I love the fact that Michael Jordan lied about what someone said about him just to wind him up. Just to get himself going. I love shithousery. That's why I love James Ward-Prowse. I love him. I love James Ward-Prowse. Because those kind of things, though, Jeanette, you know, I know it's not you. I know you. It's not you.
And yeah,
I even find with athletics, apart from someone like Carl Lewis, who I used to see, and there's something about Carl Lewis, as much as he was an amazing athlete and unbelievable, he wound me up just seeing because of how...
They all did that, though.
Seriously.
That era, so like if you're looking at Linford, Christie, Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, all those boys, some of the things I used to hear, it used to be always in the warm-up. That's when they'd get into people's heads. Yeah. Like my coach, he used to run alongside Linford and those guys back in the day. He used to say that Linford used to be in such immaculate shape. Some of this shithousery he would do, he'd take off his top in the middle of a warm-up area. And he was so ripped.
Oh my God.
And that was all people needed. Like, and they were like, oh, flipping. Look at his six-pack. And then that was it. It's a psychological thing. But in athletics, it happens a lot, though. Like on a long jump runway, you have your marker on the left or right-hand side. People will move it. People will move it. Yeah, people will move it.
That's cheating.
Well, I thought that athletics, I thought that was a code.
Is that cheating or is that shithousery? It's not cheating.
That's cheating because they're trying. That's not right. You know, I'm trying to get into someone's head. I'm not going to try and do something like that to them, man. That's horrible. That's cheating proper.
No, I don't know if that's cheating. I don't know if that's cheating.
I think that's really
bad. They move that along the way. Like, there was all sorts of things that would happen. We'd be in cool rooms. The Jamaican girls would know how to get into your heads. Like, they just had a way of doing it. The American girls would chat a lot of shit. Like, but I think from a British perspective, the British athletes, we were quite calm, especially like my era.
Yeah, it's
we
our British stiff upper lip and
I think so.
All that stuff,
I think so. But yeah, but you say that I wouldn't be involved, but I reckon if I was in another sport, I think I'd be on it. I think that there's something really... I think it's part of sport and people don't like it, but I think that's just how it is, you know?
I think
like,
coming from Sunday morning, Ryan, I feel that because there was nothing was off the table. And if you knew something, you could say anything. And I never, ever, stopped doing that. You know, I always, whatever you could find out, bam, I'd use it.
Even in Sunday morning?
Sunday morning was the best because like you could literally say anything and it was just like, it was great.
What was the
Sunday
worst
morning
thing
was
you
good
say?
Because the thing with Sunday morning, Jeanette, is that you end up, 10 man brawl is always happening because we used to have a goalkeeper, 10MB, Johnny X. And he was obviously, Johnny X. And he was our goalkeeper. Obviously he was white. Not saying that, because no black guy really genuinely wants to go in goal, but our goalkeeper was white. And the rest of the players were black, right? I'm not joking. On a weekly basis, Johnny X starts some form of fight. He's the one who would start the fight. And the thing I used to love about Sunday morning football, I'm not even joking, was sometimes, man, you just pile in, bro.
Just get involved.
It just happens. You don't even care what's happened. You don't know what's happened. Bam,
but
you just pile in.
That's it. You just get involved.
Ian Wright is not advocating violence on the football pitch for anybody to copy that and think that this is terrible behavior. But I can't lie. It was
unbelievable for me at the time. I loved it.
I mean, someone put something in the group the other day which inspired this topic. What was it? It was the Fulham thing, right?
It was. I think, right, did you put it in or was it?
Cordova Reed.
Yeah.
Cordova Reed, right? I was watching it. I was thinking,
is... Mendy's gloves.
Honestly. And I was thinking to myself, because I was doing matches today, I was watching, that kept saying, and then they kept flashing, and I was thinking, why is it? You know, when you see his hand, it was awkward. What are you doing? What are you doing? And so when he saw it, and I thought, man's trying to undo the Velcro bit on his glove. And he kept, I thought to myself, that is what I loved. He's thought about that. There's thought that's gone into that, Jeanette, because he's thinking, yeah, if I undo his glove, then at some, he's going to have to try and do it. He's going to have to do it up quick and go again. So even when his arm was up here, I know this isn't good for people to see because you can't see. His arm was up. When Mendy was trying to put his arms up like by his shoulder so couldn't reach it. And he was still going trying. Where he's able to take the glove off. I thought that's good stuff.
So when does it go too far, though? When does it go too far?
I tell you what, I remember saying about James Ward-Prowse when he was doing the penalty spot. And, you know, as much as, you know, it is it's shithousery and people do stuff like that, I think that when you are now digging up the spot for somebody to not be able to shoot properly, yeah. I feel...
That's naughty.
Yeah, I think mentally, you can say certain things, because you're supposed to, as a professional, you're supposed to be able to take it in and say, right, okay, I'll deal with that. Whether I have to go and see him in the bar afterwards or not, it's a different story. But the fact is,
it should be mental.
It shouldn't be physical, where you're doing something physically, like roughing up the spot. And I think that as much as I quite liked it and love where his head is, James Ward-Prowse, I believe that kind of goes too far when you're digging up the penalty spot and stuff like that. That's not good. It's like what Dennis Wise used to do, like when he had that massive bust up with Nicky Butt. Dennis Wise used to learn how to, you know, that just the bit of the back of your head, that bit around behind your ear, he would act like he's patting you, but he'd pull that bit of your ear and then you jump like that. And Dennis would be like, what? What's happened? What's wrong with you? That is class A, like, shithousery.
When you were playing, like, who was the, which team would you turn up against to be like,
Wimbledon, bro?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't even know why I asked. It had to be there, innit?
You know what Wimbledon used to do, which I thought was like masterclass as well, Jeanette, is, so they're coming to Arsenal, and one of the things that annoyed me more than anything else, it's so petty from my point of view, because obviously I'm at Arsenal and we've got the maitre d' out front, he's out there welcoming people in his uniform, and the Wimbledon players would come in and mess around with his hat and all that sort of stuff. And like, they come in and all of them are dressed differently. One might have a tracksuit on. One's got a suit on. They didn't look right. Then they come in and the music was so loud from the time they got off the bus walking in with it. And like, then it's loud, and then there's people in and around the corridor and stuff. You know, like, you know, so it's kind of like they're just getting into your head. And then obviously, you know, Vinnie Jones is, like, I remember one time with Tony Adams weren't playing. And like Vinnie Jones, I remember, so they're doing all that stuff. So we're wound up as it is. You know what I mean? You see them come out for the warm up. One comes out, another one comes out. There's no real cohesion to what they're doing. And then I remember Vinnie Jones is like saying things like, they're nothing without Adams. We'll take this lot today. Right? We're nothing without Adams. And the thing is that they had us from the time they got there to they beat us. They beat us that day. And it works. And that's what they've done to everybody. And you have to admire it, because they kind of bring you to a level where you are not focused on what you're meant to be focused on. You're focusing on stuff that shouldn't really matter. Incidentals and stuff. Stuff that you should be rising above. Let them do their stuff, because they're trying to get... And it worked.
And as a unit, when they came together,
they did it very
imagine
well.
Being labelled the crazy gang, and like, everybody knows it. Like, you're masters of shithousery. Mm. Like, you are the legends in that textbook stuff. I don't know. I think it's a good tag to have in football, because you're notorious then, aren't
you? Yeah, but the thing about it is, you don't go too far.
Everybody knows.
You don't go too far, Jeanette, in some of the times, because if you go too far, then it kind of has an adverse effect, because then you feel like, oh God. Because some of the times I said things that were so close and you think, oh God, maybe that went too far. But the thing is, is that you go into the bar, you have a drink with somebody, you buy them a drink, it's fine. I had the Sunday morning mentality of, yeah, it happens on the pitch, but when we come in, we'll have a drink, bams. Some of the times, like I say, people were fighting. You'd have a fight, you sort it out. People, I've seen massive fights on the pitch. Everybody's drinking in the bar, talking about, yeah, I know, I was out of order. It was what I loved about that kind of football is that happened, but then let's have a drink in the bar. Bam, finished.
So were they your favourite, like, shithouse team?
I think so, easily. Easily. On the pitch, they knew exactly what they were doing. Sometimes you catch them, you could give them a good hiding, but in the main, you had to earn that right to beat them. They never turned up because the thing with a team like Wimbledon, they couldn't afford to turn up and not have the fighting spirit because that's what one of their main strengths were. Yes, they had technical players and stuff like that, but if they didn't have that and they didn't have the spirit to try and stop you playing, you just play around them and then you'd hammer them, but it wasn't very often that happened.
I was trying to think, like, imagine if you could play peak Crazy Gang against like early, is it like 2010 to 2014 Atleti?
Oh my God. It would. That would.
There's been chaos. Oh my God.
There'd be no one left. There'd just be like heads rolling around the pitch. Because that Atleti side, I think it was probably my favorite shithousery side because you had players like peak Diego Godin.
Peak Diego Costa is
Diego Costa, great. Like Raul Garcia before he went to Athletic, who was just like, I think he's probably one of the people I would least want to play against, actually. Gabby as well, who was like, Gabby was the calm one. You know a team is full of shithouses when Gabby is like the mediator. He's like Switzerland.
trying to sort it all out.
Can I say with Diego Costa, for the time that he was in the Premier League, it was the most exciting time to watch a number nine.
He's
just because there's none like him. And yeah. I saw a gif with him backing into a player. Then he does something. He kind of elbows him. Then the fella punches him in the back. And then he does something. Then the guy hits him in the face. And it's just like, it's like the camera catches it when we're not meant to see it. And his face, and it was so funny. It was so funny. And someone put music to it, like, slap, all that stuff. They put that to it. It was so good. But it's just the way that you could see the defenders in the current defenders with the time he was here were just not used to that kind of number nine with the way he played, the fact that he was so good, and he just didn't give a, he didn't give a damn.
I had a really strange relationship with Diego Costa. Like, I've gone the full arc. Like, I used to hate him. I used to find him entertaining at Atleti. But then when he went to Chelsea, obviously I was just like, fuck this guy. The amount of times that he just bullied Arsenal, and I was just like, no, don't like this.
Yeah, but,
and then I kind of...
See, that's what I remember him for.
But then I kind of just like... Yeah, I actually really started to warm to him after that. And I was like, actually, he strikes me as one of those people who's amazing off the pitch with like young players.
Yes.
And actually is really... Yeah. Like, I think it was something like when Kieran Trippier went to Atleti, Diego Costa just had his back from day one.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he strikes me as the kind of guy who's like that, who's just, and also just playing against him. He's one of those strikers that just no one wants to play against. I don't think anyone actually wants to play against Diego Costa.
Obviously, you guys know I cover a lot of boxing, and the theatre of it was what I love. Like, I love watching boxers in Fight Week and they're just chatting the absolute shit. Like, it's just, like, there are certain boxers, like, for example, Derek Chisora. Like, for me, some of the things he says are just so out of line, like, just way too much. Like, Tyson Fury used to be like that, you know, more so. Do you know what I mean? But it's 8 years to sell more pay-per-view or do whatever. But other times there are actual boxers that cannot stand each other. But once they've done 12 rounds in the ring with each other or knocked someone out, you can see the gentleman come out in them. They'll come over, they'll pick you up, they'll, you know, say well done to the corner, commiserations or whatever it may be. But when it comes down to football and I see some of the stuff that happens, I'm like, it's just not fair. And that's just maybe my personality. You're laughing at me.
It's just not fair.
That's not fair. Mm. That's not nice. Like, why would you do that? You know?
Were you the victim of any shithousery, Jeanette, in your athletics career?
Was that not really, you know? I don't feel like I attract it, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I'm a bit about it. So I think you sense out who you can get away with stuff with. I think that's a big thing.
That's what my mum used to say. A ghost will know exactly who to frighten.
That's an amazing saying.
You like that?
Yeah.
But it used to, she said it in, obviously in Patois. So I just said it. I said it for people to understand. The ghosts will know exactly who to frighten.
It's true. I think you're right. I think if you attract it, especially like we speak about, you know, the team sport versus the individual sport. There are certain teams, you know, who you can get away with that, doing that with. There are certain individual athletes, certain boxers, and whoever, whatever sport it is, you just know that person might actually be rattled mm-hmm. by your behaviour. But then I see, you know where I see it more?
Where?
A lot of the time at World Cups. Like if you're going into a World Cup, like England will always know, oh my God, we're going to go up against this team. They've got nothing to lose and they will just move very crazy,
Iceland,
and move very mad.
Iceland, that kind of vibe you're talking?
Yeah. They just know, like if we get into their heads, we may have a chance. So why not just go for it?
But I prefer like, I don't know, there's... I think it extends to fans though sometimes as well. Like there's something like...
Yeah, but fans, there's no line though, right? That's the thing with fans.
But the funniest, like for example, the funniest things is where you go to away games and you get the old boys who have been going to away games for years who don't fight. They just love traveling around the country. Mm-hmm. And there was one time, and it's not even that funny in isolation, but you know when something in a moment like destroys you and you can't stop laughing? I remember going to Arsenal Man City at the Etihad. And Aguero had a shot that just flew miles over the bar. And this old boy about four rows in front of me just went, you should have had a shot, mate. I was gone. What? I was gone. I don't know. I don't
Is
know
that
why.
It was.
Just like, I think it was just like, it was just so out of nowhere. It was like just this lone voice, like this old boy, you should have had a shot, mate.
And that's
was just
little
like, that was this little shithousery bit. And I was just like, oh, you've got him, Derek.
You've got him.
You've got him,
Derek. You're in his head. You're in his head.
I'm just thinking, with Aguero, obviously, you know, he's going.
I can't believe that.
And people are just speculating where he's going. Do you not think that he should have just done one more season at City?
Yep.
Like, because there's been no fans. He's like a legend there. Do you not want to be that guy that goes out on a high? This is such feels such a weird way to kind of leave.
I think that decision's come from Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola doesn't want him there no more. Because like, especially when I looked the, and heard his interview, and what was it he was saying? What a goal. What a action. What a player. What a man. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm incredibly delighted he's back. None of that makes sense to me when the fact that we now know that he's leaving. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't give me the impression, Aguero, and especially, you don't see him do many interviews. And that interview, what he'd done, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to play. He was so sharp against Crystal Palace that what I thought to myself was, how a player of that caliber, as good as he is not starting against Paris Saint-Germain when you saw the chances that they created where they didn't have a number nine.
Yeah.
And you saw the way he took his goal against Palace, you're thinking, you need a half chance taker. You need a half chance taker. If we're talking about going into the next phase for Pep, where for him to go into that place where he should be, where he's gone with Barcelona, but he needs to do it with another team. It didn't quite happen with Bayern. It looks like it could happen with Manchester if they can beat Paris Saint-Germain and go on. But the fact is, you're going into that situation without arguably one of the greatest strikers ever. I know he's not done unbelievably for Argentina. We might get on to that, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that he's leaving. He's not used him in that game. It doesn't make sense that him saying that, what a man, what a goal, and he's not in his team. Can I throw something out there that's going to just go?
Yeah.
He should go to Chelsea.
Whoa, righty.
Wow.
I don't know where it came from. It just came. It literally just came. As we're speaking, Jeanette,
I need you to break it down
because
for me.
Can I tell you
a little bit of a content warning before that, please?
No content warning. When you look at, you can look at Cavani with the pace and the guys behind him. You look at Luis Suarez at Atleti. Mm. The pace and everything what they've got around him. Can you imagine Aguero up top for Chelsea with Mason Mount, Kai Havertz, all those guys like
Pulisic,
Hudson-Odoi, you know, Pulisic around him? That's 25 goals. That's 25 goals.
Yeah?
Me? If I'm Chelsea, if I could get him for free, I'm going. And you know something? I feel like, and you know what? You have to... I've fabricated this all in my head that he's vexed with Pep. He's vexed with Pep and it's the kind of thing where he'll say, yes, I'm going to go to Chelsea.
Let me go.
I'm going to go to Chelsea.
what's gone wrong then? I don't understand. Like,
that's what I'm feeling.
Why?
That's the energy I feel.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might go back to Spain.
So you don't think Pique Aguero has gone? You think that there's still more there, right? You don't.
With somebody like Aguero, who will take half a chance, whatever you're thinking about is injuries. The fact is, you give him another year. You give him another year. Get this out of the way, because with him in the team, I fancy them more. Give him a year where he can say goodbye to the fans at least. Once you've already got the Champions League, then if that's the case and you're going to bring someone in or you've got somebody, then bring them in. But do it properly, man. We're talking about a guy that when they mention his statue to him, he says, "I'm not interested in that while I'm here." You know, these are the things that he should be saying. Yeah, this is beautiful. He's angry. I could see it. He's vexed.
Yeah, he's not. He's got unfinished business, man.
He's vexed. And, you know, we're talking about someone, Ryan, that, you know, even if he is injury prone, the sharpness that I saw from him the other day is exactly what they need.
So his contract's up, right? So he's available on a free at the end of the season.
Free. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Barca went for him, because they can't spend money. They really need a number nine. Their only out and out number nine is Martin Brathwaite.
Yeah. And him and Leo Messi are tight.
Yeah, they're super tight. Like, and I think that if Barca, I mean, he's only 32, so I think you get probably, what, 2 or 3 years out of him, maybe for him. So I think going back to Spanish-speaking country will probably make a lot of sense. And I think that there'd be loads of places in Spain. Like Sevilla, for example, I think actually Sevilla would be a really great fit.
So you don't think there's another Premier League team then, guys, that he could go to? Right, you're saying Chelsea?
For free, Jeanette. Anyone.
Money might play a factor as well, but I think the thing is he'll probably be able to get enough of a fee, well, enough in terms of wages if he goes to somewhere like Barca without a fee. Chelsea will obviously be able to pay him, but like Chelsea are going to have to move people on then, because they'll have Tammy, Olivier Giroud.
I get the impression that
Tammy's going.
I get the impression Tammy's going. Jeanette, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he rocked up at City.
I don't think that's going to happen for Tammy. To play where? Unfortunately.
Or what?
But I feel that.
That's a shame.
I'm here in Villa.
Do you know where Tammy should go? Dortmund.
You think?
You think he should leave the country?
I think so. I think Tammy would do pretty well in Germany, actually.
How old is he? He's a baby as well, isn't he? He's like 21.
22, 21?
22, 23. Yeah, 22, that kind of age.
Okay.
If you've got the pace, if you've got the legs and you've got the energy around him and you say, listen, you know what I mean? With your injury record, I don't want you out here and out here. Just stay in and around. Let the young guys get the ball in there. That's goals,
that's actually why I think Barca's a pretty good shout, because they've got, you know, Ansu Fati to come back in. Ricky Puig is in and out of the squad, but like, he's Ricky decent. Puig. They've got Pedri, who's amazing. You got Carlos Alenia to come back from Getafe on loan. He's going to come back like nomad, all hardened from being at Getafe for a year. Just like there. Now there is it. We talked about Schüttauser. We didn't even mention Getafe. Oh my goodness. Aguero at Barca is actually a pretty. Is it a nice fit?
That could happen.
It doesn't help their kind of aging front line, which is one of the things why Suarez moved on.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make sense then. You're going to get rid of Suarez, but then you're going to bring in Aguero.
Suarez has got a couple of years on Aguero though, hasn't he? And I think also the thing with Suarez was that it was one of those where it was the right thing to do for Barca to sell him. It was definitely the wrong thing to do to sell him to a direct rival or let him go to a direct rival.
Maybe, do you think they underestimated what he's got left?
No, I think they assumed he was going to go to Italy. Because he took his Italian citizenship test, didn't he? And then failed it.
That's shithousery. He done that on purpose.
To be honest, Suarez as well, shithousery, he's number one. I don't care what anyone says,
man.
No.
He's another one. Yeah. Another beautiful shithouse. A beautiful shithouse.
He's a beautiful shithouse.
It's like there was in the Commodores. He's a shit.
Shit. House. Was it Brick House? He's a shit. House.
House.
Love that. He's a shit. House.
So Aguero, all right. So I'm saying Barca, you're saying Chelsea, righty? Jeanette?
Yeah, I'd love it at Chelsea. I'd love to see that.
I think he's got options. I don't know, put a team on him. I think he's got options.
You have to put a team on him. I think that, Jeanette, could you see him doing something at Chelsea?
Arsenal.
I'm not mentioning Arsenal. No, I'm not mentioning Arsenal because no. I'm not even mentioning Arsenal.
Yeah, I think I did want to say Arsenal. But we'd feel so pained like if he did dismiss us. But I feel like I'm leaning more towards Ryan's argument with Barcelona, only because of the fact that he's tired, man. He wants to move from Manchester, go to a Spanish-speaking country and just flourish again. I think that's important. And also, right, he's a City legend, you know? He's been there. And to go to Chelsea's a bit...
Okay, then can I throw something else in? Because now I've been thinking and I was talking about legs and... Saka, Emil Smith Rowe, maybe Odegaard.
He's talked himself into it. He's talked himself into it.
He actually just took 30 seconds to convince yourself that Aguero can now go to Arsenal.
I think that, you know, as much as he would not even, if someone would, it would be, what would make me really sad is that someone would mention it to him and the youngsters and try and sell him us.
And he'd be like, meow.
Meow. We haven't had that for a while. Meow. Meow. I reckon David Luiz would be able to convince him. David Luiz would be able to convince anyone, I think.
I get the impression that if you sit down with David Luiz, David Luiz could probably sell you that.
Yeah. Isn't it quite sad, though, in the last year, David Silva and Sergio Aguero will both leave Man City without saying goodbye.
Any kind of love.
Fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's hard. That's easily what I was like at the beginning.
Easily the two best players. Them talking about David Silva, the best player that's ever played for them, Aguero, the most goals in their history. And both of them have left Man City without the fans seeing them kind of go properly. There's something quite sad. They're going to have to do something about rectifying that at some stage, getting them back to play a game, a testimonial game, I don't know. But like the service that they've given, like I said, I'm saying this even with Aguero still being there, and I still am baffled. The service that they've given, they deserve some form of some form of sending off, because for Aguero to not be given a new deal for another year at least with the service he's given Manchester City in a season where they may win the Champions League and then next season, it just seems like something is not right.
Yeah,
it's not the right thing to do.
Or the other thing I think is maybe they know that someone's on the way, and that's why.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. The only thing I can think of. It's just a shame when players leave without.
Yeah.
Aguero. Last day of the season. Hero. What? 2012.
Yeah.
Mm. Like you would never. That is a huge moment.
Drink it in.
Aguero.
So Arsenal got a massively precious away goal. Away goal that they really didn't deserve, by the way.
Oh my God.
Nah, that was such a frustrating game, guys.
Watch it. You know what? I was so vexed. It's one of those, I got so vexed at the 2-0 that I was... Golf don't do that to me, man. The change that he made and bringing on Coquelin and taking the striker off made me say, okay, that's one of the reasons as well why you moved on. You know, you didn't go and push forward and try to finish an Arsenal side that were there for the taking. And so now...
of his whole career. Absolutely. Though, I think he's done that everywhere he's been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just say, did you see how he celebrated the goals? Do you not feel like... I don't know how I feel about that. Like, he
Unai.
Really... Yeah.
No, you got to leave him, man, because now they hurt him deep, bro. They cut Unai deep.
Come on, man.
And he was a nice guy. Like, he's a nice dude. Like,
celebrated them hard, though, guys.
Yeah, like, but I'm all about that. I've seen Wrighty celebrating goals against Palace.
Yeah, man. Palace are being harsh on me, bro. Sending me stuff, man. Look at you two.
What are you talking about? I don't know.
Can I just say, with Mikel and the false nine, when we've got players on the bench, looking how sharp Aubameyang looked. And then reading people saying about, why is he copying Pep with a false nine? We can't do it.
They're losing their mind.
You know what I mean? Then when it was 2-0, I was like, you know, when you're watching the game and you feel like you could just like a tear could just come down your face. I'm thinking, if they carry on like this, they're beating us 3-4-0. I probably just wouldn't even notice that tears are coming down my face.
Yeah,
I felt like that for a bit. I felt like it was going to go the wrong way.
You switch off after a little while.
I think Mikel Arteta always got a buy from me this season because of the circumstances. Like, I can't think of a manager who's taken over at Arsenal ever who's had to deal with, or even maybe a Premier League manager, to be honest, who's had to deal with since he took over, the amount of different crises that he has had to deal with.
I hear that.
Especially being a rookie manager. Can you remember a manager coming into a club with so much goodwill, maybe about Frank Lampard at Chelsea?
Yeah, it's true.
People are really trying to not question Mikel Arteta.
But you're going to have to at some point.
Won the cup.
Yeah, you do. I thought you do.
There's a romance attached to that though, Ryan. You can't, definitely.
Not being able to question
somebody like that because of who or what he means to the club. That's silly. Because you're looking for results.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the amount of goodwill that was there and that people really want to still be there, but they're kind of like, why won't he make a sub? Like the Danny Ceballos thing was the prime
example.
Come on.
That was like, as good a coach as Mikel is,
that's like, that was really poor management.
That is what it is.
It was poor management.
I saw a stat about red cards actually. And it's Arsenal. They've been shown 10 red cards in all competitions under Arteta, twice as many as any other side in the league. Since he took over in December.
Bringing back the early Wenger days, man.
That's what are we saying? Are we bad gang now? Like, we've got no discipline now. Is that what's happening?
I can't get over the fact that, yes, you want people like, you want Pepe to be playing, you want him to be firing on that right-hand side, him and Saka, because Saka, yes, obviously a bit more consistent with his output than maybe Pepe, but Pepe seems like when he gets going, he's back on a bench or something like that. But ideally, for me, you play Cedric Suarez at left back. You put Xhaka back in that midfield because he can keep that ball and keep it safe and give that pass that we need. It comes down to players playing well, really. Mm-hmm. Because if Pepe's playing well, you know what I mean? Then you say to yourself, well, we could probably put Saka there. And then we can, when, you know, Saka goes forward and Xhaka does what he does and comes in and fills in that left side, and he's not the one who's vulnerable when they're attacking us, when he's playing at left back. It does not make me comfortable seeing Xhaka at left back. And you could see with, I think with one of the goals, the first goal, how easily they went by him. It's not his thing. That's not where he should be. You know, Cedric Suarez was bought and signed for 4 years to play either right or left. Play him, man. Play Xhaka where he should play. And then it's out of Saka and Pepe to be on that side. And go with the strongest. For me, Ceballos doesn't make my team. I would rather have Mohamed Elneny in there. I know he scored the other day, but he's got a drive and a determination about him that is quite, you cannot dislike his output for what he's trying to do with the team.
What are we saying then, guys? I don't know. Thursday, we've got the away goal. So I don't know. What do you think, Ryan? You think we're going to go make this happen?
I think it's going to be 1-0 to Arsenal, and then Francis Coquelin's going to score an equaliser in the ninth.
What is wrong with you? Throw that into the universe. Come with that foolishness. That's shit-housery, man. You're saying that's just to be nasty. You see what I was talking about shit-housery? He's in my head now. Now I'm thinking about that. I'll think about that for the rest of the day.
How many times have we seen this movie?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we've seen the movie, but the fact is we can avoid this.
Seriously, I think we can. This is going to go one of two ways, because this is what always Arsenal second legs always do. It'll either be obscenely and unnervingly calm, and it'll be like 2 or 3-0.
Not me. For me, can I tell you what I think? I think
or
that
it'll be,
Unai's,
or we'll be out.
Unai's Coquelin substitution when they were flying, when they were doing their stuff, that has to come back to bite him, because it's done it with us before, it's done it with him before in his career, and I think he's done it again. It's something that he's always done and it's cost him, and I think that was our way back in. We bought back into the game. We weren't meant to be in the game. They should have finished us and they didn't. That's why I think we're going to beat them, because Aubameyang looked sharp the other day, you know what I mean? And I feel that, you know, with the players, Emile Smith-Rowe, Saka, Uda, Pepe, I just feel like
we can do it.
They've got to recognise this is it. This is it. And I think that's a sign for me, Jeanette. That was a sign.
This is it though. It's that mentality, isn't it? When you can see that this is crunch. You have to make this work.
Crunch.
If it doesn't happen, I'm going to be really sad for a long time.
You just let them know.
So yeah, so I'm just putting that out there right now.
What a threat.
If you don't win, I'm going to be really, oh in fact, God. That'll be the headline. If you don't win, I'm going to be really sad for a very long time.
For a long time.
I'm going to be very sad if you don't all win.
For a long time.
For a long time. It's like the little like
it is a definite lip quiver
across.
Yeah. My daughter started doing that.
I actually think because Oba's back now after the malaria stuff, which was horrible, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that is great.
And shows you that obviously we just don't know what's going on a lot of the time behind the scenes. Like he played those two games and people were like,
he had malaria.
Him and he had fucking malaria. Yeah,
malaria.
Have you ever played with malaria?
Yeah, exactly. No. That, there you go. That is if I was Aubameyang and anyone ever came for me on Twitter, I'd just quote tweet everything and be like, when have you played with malaria? When have you played with malaria?
Yeah. Played with malaria.
I remember I got a message from him. Said, Ian, I'm in hospital, just letting you know everything's fine. Da, da, da. And then afterwards the picture came out with him in the hospital and I thought to myself, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not even sure if why he told me that, because he didn't have to. So when I got that message, I said, oh my God, you sent back, listen, I hope you're well, get yourself back, take yourself there. But then I instantly thought, that fucking guy was playing with malaria.
Yeah. And you know. And then
he had to post that, you know, Jeanette.
He had to post that for people to see because people
were saying, you know what, I can't take from someone like Aubameyang when they say things like, you know what I mean? He's doing it, Ozil, man. He's signed what we've given a contract to him like that for. This is the guy to give that contract to if we're going to give it to anyone. Because if you get the service to him, he's going to score. The club means the world to him, right? And we're seeing now with everything what's happened, his mom, he's in, you know, the malaria, everything what's happened, the pressure he's under to have to play for Gabon. That's, you know what I mean? That everything what he's going through, is people don't put all these things into the mix. They're just thinking about, why isn't he playing well? Especially when we weren't creating anything. You know,
He has to put it out there. No, you're right. I hear that. He has to put it out there. You have to humanize it a little bit to make you see that he's a normal guy just trying.
Yeah, but I think especially that we're
this
in a
season as well.
Yes, it's exactly like, right. Yeah, what players like are going crazy through in this time, I don't know if I could do it.
I've said this a million times. We've said it. I feel like I'm like trying out the same old line every week on Stadio, but it's like, we're asking professional footballers and athletes in general across every sport, we're pushing them into mental and physical conditions that they've never been in before. The stress of getting tested every couple of days or like traveling somewhere where your fitness is your life.
Yes.
It's fucking nice.
It's a lot.
Not giving them props, man.
Like just cut them some slack, cut them please. Some slack.
Can I just quickly, because I was listening to Stadio quick now, I know it's a little bit of a... But
I thought you did the robot.
Yeah, Conte, Inter Milan. I heard you, Moose. He has to get some love, Conte, for what he's done. Going to Inter Milan, winning the league. I remember, like I told you, when I was speaking to Lukaku before he was going to Juventus or Inter Milan, and it was so nice to be in that conversation. That's it. And I was saying to him, yeah, Conte loves you, and he said, yeah, Conte always wanted me to Chelsea, this and that. And then for them to go there with Lukaku, with everything what he's been through here at Man United,
so happy for Lukaku,
massive amount of disrespect what he got. For Conte to go there, you know what I mean, with Juventus, with the all-conquering Ronaldo and everything like that, and do it, you know, bringing in players, Ashley Young, bringing in Christopher, bringing in
Moses on loan.
Victor Moses and then, man, getting it done.
That's what he is, man. He's the Calcio Whisperer.
He's a Calcio, man. He's somebody, again, that, you know, you look at someone like him and back in the day to attract that manager, because you look at him on the line, that man ain't joking, man. Antonio Conte is not joking. When he's doing his stuff, you feel like you're 100% in with what he's doing. I love the way he dealt with like Mourinho when Mourinho was trying his foolishness with him. Man just buoyed him off, Jeanette. Buoyed him off. You know, just kind of like dismissed. Yeah, man, dismissed it. And that. He's got to get flowers for what? It's swatted, bro. No, boxed
metaphorically.
No,
he boxed him.
He gave him a box. Oh. He boxed him. And I just, like I say, I just want to give Conte some love for what they're doing at Inter Milan. Long may it continue. Is Lukaku going to leave, Ryan?
No, he should stay. He's having a great time, no?
Yeah, but I'm seeing people linking him with. They're linking him with. Did he get linked with Chelsea the other day again?
No, he's not. Don't let him come back. No, don't let him come. Stay where you are.
It's true. And plus he's
having a great time.
And plus he's heard he Aguero's going Chelsea anyway, so.
After he's been to Barcelona. But do you not see him like straight in the car around Milan?
Yeah.
I love that.
Time.
How good is that?
I love it. Love it.
People have to understand Romelu Lukaku is one of the good guys. You know, if you had to say, yeah, but I don't like it. He is one of the good guys. Pogba the same. Those kind of, they're good guys. Jesse Lingard.
Good dudes.
You know what I mean? Jack Grealish. You know, these guys, when you see that, they're good guys. So when you see it happen for him like that, because I was so worried for Lukaku with the way that he was, that the press were towards him, the way United fans were towards him, going to Italy and how it can be in Italy. We know how it can be. Mm-hmm, going to Milan with Conte, having to do it, guys. This is the thing. When you're going there, Lukaku's going there under the pressure of having to do what they've now done. He's done it, right? And he's led that team. Like, he's been unbelievable for that team and the way he's brought players through and the way he helps the players and everything like that. And he's taken on so much and he's done it. He's done it brilliantly. They deserve it. And this is why he should be out of his car. That's a one-off. That will never happen. Because you know when players talk about being in Italy, you literally cannot walk out your door and there's fans in your face. So to be able to be in your car, waving a flag.
Having a great time.
Having a great time must be one of those moments where I hope it was filmed from somewhere so you could see it.
What day did they win the league, Rye?
It was Sunday because...
the same day that
Atalanta
kicked off.
Atalanta drew away at Sassuolo, which meant that no one could catch him.
Oh, no. Shout out Lukaku.
Absolutely. Can I just say quickly with... What was I going to say with United? I still feel the power... I have to mention the power that the fans now realise that they have to be able to stop a game of that magnitude.
I know, man.
And there's something that makes me smile about it. That makes me feel quite happy that the monies and the...
Fans in England at the moment, it's like when Tom Holland Spider-Man first realises what he can do.
With the new suit
just
or
like,
just...
Because they're all this like young kids there as well. They're like, holy shit. I just got Man United Liverpool called off.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't even done my A-levels. Fuck. This is amazing.
And shout out to Righty's House, Carl Anker. Was in the thick of it, man. Oh my God.
Carl was on the floor. He was on the floor, on the ground.
Front line, man.
He was the like, the, you know that report in the Godzilla? I was watching the Godzilla with my daughters the other day, the first one, like 98. And like when she ended up saying like, okay, I've got to do the broadcast. That's Carl Anker.
Yeah,
he's that journalist doing that broadcast. But United fans, with what you've been through since 2005 to now, with people doing that fucking smoke and mirrors bollocks about how much money they've spent. I was saying it to somebody the other day and that reference came to me about, it's just like David Blaine, you know, saying he's levitating, but if you look properly, he's just standing on one foot and the other one's up in the air. You know what I mean? That's what they're doing with the, oh, we've spent £1 billion. No, that's, you probably spent more in interest payments. But the fact is, I am so pleased that the fans used that power and made that game not happen. That is saying something. I'm not saying, oh, everybody riot and do stuff, because you don't want that. Police were hurt. You don't want that. But
the
fact is,
that goes too far.
Make your voices heard, fans.
Yeah.
Make your voices heard. Those guys are not taking over football. We've got to get that back. And it's up to the fans to do it, because no one else will. Rasklap, bro. Where did that come from? I haven't spoken about it. That's the problem. Where the bomber hole did that come from?
I don't know, but whilst you were saying it, I had the Champions League song go through my head.
I was listening the other day, he's doing the Europa League song. Did the Europa League song?
I hate it, but it's such an earworm. It's such an earworm.
I swear.
I will get up in the morning, go and make coffee, and I'll just be like, no, 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 no.
Honestly, I swear to... No, 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 no. But guys, thanks for coming. Listen, I've got to go.
All right.
I'm going to go and practice. I'm going to go. You know what I'm going to do?
Your breathing techniques on the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. The golf. More golf.
And I'm going to do my thing and thank the higher force for just giving me that zen moment where I really wanted to, with the Arsenal, I wanted to be vexed. With the golf, I wanted to be vexed. But it's taken me somewhere else. I'm somewhere else. And I feel good about that.
We're glad
it's taken me a
good.
Long time to get here.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Aww. Thanks for being here, guys. I just thought I'd share that with you.
No, it's fine.
Thank you very much. Because,
no more
like,
shithousery,
you
know, though, yeah. No more shithousery.
He's a shit. See you later, guys. I love you.
Bye.
So thanks very much, Jeanette Kouache. Thanks very much, Ryan Hunt. Hope you enjoyed the show, everybody. We'll be back next week. Until then, stay healthy, stay safe. And I'll speak to you soon. I'll speak to you then. God bless.